The situation was a curious one. We were driving to an unknown place on an unknown errand. Yet our invitation was either a complete hoax, which was an inconceivable hypothesis, or else we had good reason to think that important issues might hang upon our journey. Miss Morstan's demeanour was as resolute and collected as ever. I endeavoured to cheer and amuse her by reminiscences of my adventures in Afghanistan, but to tell the truth, I was myself so excited at our situation and so curious as to our destination that my stories were slightly involved. To this day, she declares that I told her one moving anecdote as to how a musket looked into my tent at the dead of night and how I fired a double-barreled tiger cub at it. At first, I had some idea as to the direction in which we were driving, but soon, what with our pace, the fog, and my own limited knowledge of London, I lost my bearings and knew nothing save that we seemed to be going a very long way. Sherlock Holmes was never at fault, however, and he muttered the names as the cab rattled through squares and in and out by tortuous by-streets. "Rochester Row," said he, "now Vincent Square, now we come out on the Vauxhall Bridge Road. We are making for the Surrey side, apparently." "Yes, I thought so. Now we're on the bridge. You can catch glimpses of the river." We did indeed get a fleeting view of a stretch of the Thames, with the lamps shining upon the broad, silent water. But our cab dashed on, and was soon involved in a labyrinth of streets upon the other side. "Wordsworth Road," said my companion, "Priory Road, Larkhall Lane, Sockwell Place, Robert Street, Cold Harbour Lane. Our quest does not appear to take us to very fashionable regions." We had indeed reached a questionable and forbidding neighbourhood. Long lines of dull brick houses were only relieved by the coarse glare and tawdry brilliancy of public houses at the corner. Then came rows of two-storied villas, each with a fronting of miniature garden, and then again interminable lines of new, staring brick buildings, the monster tentacles which the giant city was throwing out into the country. At last, the cab drew up at the third house in a new terrace. None of the other houses were inhabited, and that at which we stopped was as dark as its neighbours, save for a single glimmer in the kitchen window. On our knocking, however, the door was instantly thrown open by a Hindu servant, clad in a yellow turban, white, loose-fitting clothes, and a yellow sash. There was something strangely incongruous in this Oriental figure framed in the commonplace doorway of a third-rate suburban dwelling-house. "The Sahib awaits you," said he. And even as he spoke, there came a high, piping voice from some inner room.
"Show them in to me, Kitbutka," it said. "Show them straight in to me.